Okay. Happy New Year, everybody. It is wonderful to see all of you here. Those that I just met for the first time today, welcome. So happy you're here. And those that I've met at former healing seminars, it's great to see you back. And all our St. Patrick brothers and sisters, good to see you here. So it's exciting to get started in this new year. I hope it's a blessed one for ours. Really touch your heart and open a whole new door in your relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So if you've brought your Bible, I'm going to ask you to hold up your Bible. This is our confession of faith that we make regarding the Word of God, because we know Jesus is that Word made flesh. If you didn't bring your Bible, just put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. And we say, this is my Bible. I am who it says I am. And I have what it says I have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is open. My heart is alert to receive the indestructible, incorruptible Word of God. It will touch my heart and it will change me. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, never, never, never. Okay, amen. So if you didn't bring your Bible today, be sure you bring it at the next session that we have. And anytime we have seminars, Bible studies, anything at all here at St. Patrick's, it's always based on the Word of God. It's always based on the Scriptures. So it'd be a good idea to always bring, even if it doesn't say so, you know, in the invitation that you read, it's a good idea to bring your Bible. Okay. You all have your handout, and I'm going to be speaking from the handout that you received. Can everybody hear me? Can you guys at that table back there hear me? Okay, because I remember the last time there were people at that table that couldn't. So if for any reason you don't hear me, wave to me so I can adjust that. Okay. So the teaching I'm going to be doing is expectant faith and healing. The one that's marked expectant. Let me look on here and see. I don't think that's the first one here. No, the first one is healing for the whole person, and Father Dale will be presenting that later this morning. And the one we're going to be talking about is expectant faith and healing. And as Father Dale said, it's from the book of the Gospel of Mark. Mark 5. I've got two different Bibles here because they're two different translations. And as I was preparing this, I kept reading the different ones to see, like, which is the clearest, which is the easiest to understand. So I'm going to share the story of the woman with the hemorrhage from this particular Bible, which is the Amplified. The Amplified Bible is like loaded with adjectives. It has a lot of adjectives that describe what it's trying to say to us. So it might not be the translation you have, but that's what I'm going to be sharing with now. But certainly you'll recognize it. So we're going to start with Mark 5, verse 25. So if you have your Bible, open it to the Gospel of Mark 5, and we're going to start with verse 25. Okay, we ready? All right. And the word says this: a woman in the crowd had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. And she had endured much suffering at the hands of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead she became worse. She had heard reports about Jesus, and she thought, I am going to go where Jesus is. She had heard these reports And there was a crowd gathered around him when she came close to him. But she said to herself, so this was her self-talk. You know how often I think we all talk to ourselves, right? You know, we say, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do that, I think it's time for that. Well, she said to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be healed. Immediately, as she did that and pushed through the crowd, her flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body and knew without any doubt in her heart that she was healed of her suffering. Immediately, Jesus, recognizing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see this crowd all around you, this crowd pressing in around you, and yet you say to us, 'Who touched me?'" Still, he kept looking around to see the woman who had done it. And the woman, though she was afraid and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith, your personal trust, your personal confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering." Amen. Okay. So basically, we're seeing in this event that's recorded in the Gospel of Mark, the woman approaching Jesus in faith. So what is faith? Faith is not necessarily our religion. Faith is believing those things we have not yet seen. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, how do I get that? How do I get that kind of faith that this woman had? You know, that she could say to herself, "I know if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made well." Well, the scriptures tell us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the word of God. So the more we hear the scriptures, the more we hear and study the Bible, the more we come to things like this, the more we attend the Eucharist, the more you're hearing the word of God, the more our faith is being built up. So that's an important thing. You might want to write that down, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if through these seminars you feel like, well, that's great for her, but that's just not where I am, but you want to get there, you want to move from where you are to that new place, the way you build up your faith is through the word of God, through the Bible. You know, to read it each day, take a little bit of time each day and read it, come to things like this where you're exposed to it. You know, buy yourself a Bible that you can easily understand. There's many different translations that, you know, that like the New Living Translation that make it easy to read and to study the Bible. So this lady, she came sick. Just think, she had been sick for 12 years. 12 years is a long time, isn't it? She had this issue, this flow of blood for 12 years. So she went to all the doctors. Now, I'm sure many of us can relate to or maybe know someone that we love that is or has been sick for a long time. This woman spent all of her money, all the money that she had, on these doctors. And instead of getting better, the word tells us that she only became worse. Yet, she had heard about Jesus. She heard. Just like you. You heard that there was going to be a healing seminar today. And not only did you hear, but you responded. You came. just as the woman did. She heard that Jesus was going to be in the area. She had heard all these things about that he was doing, that you know, his touch was healing people. He was raising people from the dead. Yet she had never encountered him. She had heard a lot about him, but she didn't really know him. I can remember years back being in that same place, back in the early 70s, where I knew a lot about Jesus, but I didn't really know him. And it was in coming to something similar to this that my journey started, where I moved from knowing a lot about him to really coming to know him and having a personal relationship with him. And my prayer has been for today that for those of you who already know him, that relationship would deepen within your heart. And those of you who know a lot about him, maybe you're like I was years back, but didn't really know him, that this is the first step in that journey to really entering into that personal relationship. This woman knew a lot about him, but she didn't really know him. She had never met him. One of the things I think we can take away from this scripture is that even though she wasn't that close to Jesus, even though she didn't have that personal relationship, Jesus was still there for her. Jesus still responded to her. Jesus wanted to make her well. And we see what happened. Now, from the woman's point of view, just think. First of all, she was probably in a weakened state. You know, if you're losing blood for all that time, a period of 12 years, naturally, it's going to make you physically weak. Also, after spending all our money and seeing all the doctors, that everybody said, oh, you go to this guy, he's really going to help you. Anybody ever been there? And did work, didn't help. She went through all that for 12 years. Yet, she still pushed forward. She had perseverance. It's called persistent faith. She kept believing, it'll happen for me. It will happen for me. And when she heard, she said to herself, so she heard and she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And then she went into the crowd. Now, this woman was not supposed to be in public settings because she was seen at that time, she was seen as unclean because she was bleeding. At that time then, people did not want to be around her. At that time, people did not want to touch her because there was a lot of fear. Last night when I was reading over this again, what came to my mind, and I'm sure a lot of you can remember when the AIDS epidemic came out, you know, was present to all of us, pardon me, in the 70s, and how in the beginning there was so much ignorance regarding that and how people, you know, wouldn't reach out and touch, where people had ideas about it that just came through ignorance and not really knowing. And fortunately now, you know, through research and so forth, that all has passed, and we know that none of that was so, none of that was true. But in our lifetime, so I could relate that to what this woman was going through. You know, people didn't want to be around her. In fact, it was against the law for her to be out in public. So even though she had all this going against her, even though she was weak physically, even though I'm sure emotionally she was spent, she had like had it, she still was persistent. She still heard about him. She still responded to him. She said to herself, if I just touch his garment, I know I'm going to be healed. So that's why we call this the expectant faith through healing. So she was not allowed in the worship community. She was forbidden to have sexual union with her husband. She became isolated from the most important relationship in her life, which would have been her spouse. And she spent all her money on doctors. But what changed that? What changed it was she heard. She heard. The Lord put her in a position that allowed her to hear. And despite all her rejections, despite all her disappointments, she still said to herself, if I could just touch him, I will be healed. Perhaps she had heard some of his teachings. Perhaps she hadn't. She had just heard the hearsay from different people. But she did persist, and she did move forward. Another part of the scripture I think is so important is it said that, you know, when she did reach out and touch Jesus, he felt that. He felt that touch. Her touch of faith, you know, had power in it. And that power he felt as she reached out and touched him. And then he looked around, you know, who did that? Who touched me? And of course, there were so many people. And all the disciples were saying, how do we know? There's all these people around you. And you're asking us who touched you? And then the woman, knowing that what she had done was against the law at that time, knowing that she wasn't received and accepted, still stepped forth. And the Bible tells us she fell down before the Lord and she told him the whole truth. Now, what do you think her whole truth was? Certainly, part of it was that she had been sick for 12 years, that she had been to every doctor that she was able to get to, but she was totally broke, had spent all of her money, and instead of getting better, she was getting worse. That's the obvious part of the whole truth. But we need to go deeper into this woman's heart, into her mind, and say, what else is there? I would think what else is there would be something like this. She was ostracized from members of her family. She was ostracized from neighbors, from her worshiping community. So she experienced a deep wound of rejection. So part of her whole truth is the rejection that she lived with for those 12 years. Another part of her whole truth would be the disappointment that she must have felt every time she went to the doctor, every time she went with the hope that this time it's going to be different. This time I'm going to get well. This doctor is really going to help me. Only to find that that didn't happen. Only to find that she wasn't improved. So this disappointment that having her hope built up each time she scheduled an appointment, each time she met a new doctor, only to find herself at the same place. So there was a deep disappointment. Also, I would think part of her whole truth would be her faith being challenged. You know, it's difficult when you pray for something, and you go expecting, you might go to church, you might pray in your own personal prayer time, might be here today, and what you pray for, you don't see happen right away. It's difficult sometimes then to try again. It's difficult to persevere. Perseverance can be hard. This person, as part of her whole truth, experienced that. 12 years. 12 years she went to the doctor, but also she was a woman of faith, or she could have never persisted for 12 years and then reached out to Jesus. So that's also part of her whole truth. So the hurt that all that incurred within her, the disappointment, the rejection that she experienced, all of that needed to be healed as well. It wasn't just the physical healing, but it was the emotional healing, what was going on inside of her that also needed to be healed. Now, that healing is called healing of past hurts. That's another piece of healing that Father Dale and I are going to be talking about as we move forward in this trilogy of our seminar. Healing of past hurts. We all have past hurts. So when Jesus comes to heal, he is a holistic God. He doesn't just heal the obvious. He doesn't just heal that part of her, or he didn't just heal that part of her that was causing the issue of blood for 12 years. When she told him the whole truth, he then healed her of that rejection that she had been living with, the hurt of that rejection. He healed her of the disappointment of how often she came before him and how often she went to the doctor and nothing happened. She didn't receive healing, but she persevered. So how does that affect you and me? I think this is like my favorite healing scripture, this lady. I've been talking about and reading about this lady for a long time. I almost feel like I know her. And when Father Dale said, how about if you do Mark 5? I said, I got it. I got Mark 5. Because I think there's so much to learn from this woman. You know, first of all, the sickness that kept going on and on. To no avail. She went to the doctors, to no avail, not healed. How she went to a place where she wasn't supposed to go, where she knew she wasn't welcome, where she felt like if they find out I'm here, you know, I'm in trouble. Because this is against the law. I'm breaking the law. But irregardless of all that, she went anyway. Because she heard and she said to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And she reached out. She reached out. Now, just picture, you can imagine, there she is, a weak woman, probably not feeling very strong at all, and there's this big crowd of people. She knelt down to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. There's a bunch of people around her. She was probably frightened. She probably thought, I could get knocked over. They could run right over me. But she didn't allow any of that to stop her from receiving that healing flow and that healing touch of Jesus Christ. And so that's what she did. She knelt down and she touched, and her touch was so full of faith and love and persistence that immediately it says, now that's a wonderful way to be healed, isn't it? I like that immediately. Doesn't always happen that way. Doesn't always happen immediately, but you know, we know sometimes it does. Sometimes the healing begins at that point. Sometimes the healing is a process. Oftentimes that's the case. Whether it's immediate or whether it's in process, Jesus does heal. Jesus is our healer. And so for us to build up our faith in that, to believe that, even though sometimes we don't see it happen. Remember, faith is believing those things we haven't yet seen. We keep persevering, just like this lady. Remember her. Remember all she was dealing with. Remember how she must have felt. Remember how weak she must have been. Remember 12 years, and yet she persevered. And Jesus touched her, and Jesus healed her. Now, in your notes, you see in Mark 30 to 32, it says that she was healed of affliction, and she sensed the wellness. Yet, what she senses is greater than the physical healing. A certain fullness came over her. So she sensed that that issue of blood dried up, but she also sensed that she was touched even deeper than that. She also sensed, as it says, that this fullness, all that she had, that had been broken within her, all that she had been lacking, was also touched, was also healed. All that came from the rejection, all that came from the disappointment, all that came from being ostracized from her community, from her where she worshiped, from her church, but also from her family. And from that person closest to her, her husband. She was rejected in all those areas. And that touch that Jesus released his healing power within her healed all of that. When Jesus looked around, he searched out. Remember it says Jesus looked around, who touched me, who touched me? He searched her out because he wanted to know her. He wanted to meet her, and he wanted to develop a relationship with her. Remember, it says at the end, at the verse 34, Jesus said to her, when she bowed down before him and she told him the whole truth that we've been talking about, he said to her, daughter. He called her daughter. Meaning, he was in a relationship with her. He was her father. She was his daughter. That changes everything. Knowing who Jesus is to you and you are to him changes and transforms how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves as we come before the Lord. How we see ourselves as we read the scriptures, knowing that this word is Jesus, is the word made flesh. How we see ourselves as we attend and receive the Eucharist, believing that we are receiving the fullness of Jesus Christ. And when we receive the fullness of Jesus Christ, this is what this woman received when she reached out and touched him. The fullness of Jesus that would flow through him into her, which gave her the physical healing and also the inner healing, the healing of those past hurts. So be sure you write down about how she heard, how she said, her inner talk, and how she reached out and touched. Okay, also in verse 33, again, we see where when the woman did come to Jesus, she was afraid because of who she was, what she had experienced before, but she reached out anyway. So these are all the things that when we need healing and we're coming for healing and we're asking for prayer, these are many of the things that oftentimes we need to overcome. We need to overcome the doubt because I've been prayed with before and nothing happened. Or I go to Mass every day and nothing happened. Nothing happened that we can see. But you know, we're talking about the spiritual realm here. We're talking about Jesus, talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're not seeing it or feeling it in our mortal bodies. Maybe we're not seeing it with our eyes. It doesn't mean it hasn't begun. It doesn't mean you're not on that journey to the fullness that we hear about in the scripture, to the total healing. And be like the woman and tell Jesus your whole truth. He knows it anyway, but you know, he wants to hear it from us. It's just like if you think of if you have kids and you know that your son or your daughter is having a particular problem or worried about something. You know it. They haven't said anything yet. You want to hear it from them, don't you? You want to have that kind of a relationship where they can come to you because they know you love them. They can come to you because they know you care. And they can come to you because they know they can trust you. And that's what this woman felt when she told Jesus the whole truth. And that's what Jesus wants us to do with him. He wants us to have that kind of a relationship with him so that we can come to him, so that we can trust him, so that we know that when we come to him, we're coming into the presence of love, and to know that he will put his arms around us just as we would do with one of our children, and start us on that journey of making it better. Okay, I mentioned about the healing of past hurts. There's one other piece of healing I just want to mention, because these are things we're going to be talking about. Like today we're talking mostly about physical healing. I mentioned about the lady with told Jesus the whole truth, and we got into the healing of past hurts with her rejection and her disappointments and all. There's also another form of healing prayer, and that's called generational healing. You know, sometimes we find that there are illnesses that are often familiar in families. Doesn't necessarily mean they're inherited, but the doctor might say, well, that's familiar in families. The disease of alcoholism is one. Doesn't mean if your father or somebody in your family is an alcoholic that you're going to be an alcoholic, but it means that it's familiar. Oftentimes you see where maybe the dad is and the daughter might be, or vice versa, or the mom is. So it's familiar. Oftentimes, diabetes is familiar in families. You know, more than one person in the family may have it. Different diseases sometimes run in the family line. So there is prayer for that. There is prayer that breaks that line, that breaks that line of that disease. And it's called generational healing. So that's something else that as time goes on, that we'll be talking about and teaching about. And I have seen it. I have seen all these different types of healing really happen. But what just popped into my mind was my son, Sean. When Sean was in, he was in high school. He was just graduating from high school. He went to Calvert Hall. He was graduating from high school. Now, to just give you a little backstory, I remember growing up, my grandmother, my mom's mom, had migraine headaches. My mother had migraine headaches. I remember my dad worked down Bethlehem Steel, and he worked what they called shift work. So sometimes he wasn't home through the night because he was working through the night. And I can remember my mother having it so that she couldn't see. I have a brother who is 4 years younger. At that time, he was still in the crib. And I remember helping her push the crib into her room because she couldn't see, and her reaching like this to feel him because the headache was so bad and it affected her vision. Okay, so that's the backstory. So, praise the Lord, I did not experience that. My brother didn't experience that. But this particular day, when we were having a party for Sean's graduation, and he said, and his at that time, he was going with a girl, and she was a Jewish girl, and she was there, just a sweet girl at the party, and he said to me, "I've got a terrible headache." And Father Dale was there also at Sean's graduation party. And so I talked to him about it, and he's saying, "I'm not seeing right, and things are blurry." And, you know, and I thought, this sounds like a migraine headache, you know. So he's there, and Kim, his girlfriend's there. And I said, "Sean, how do you feel about, how about if we pray for you?" And he said, "Okay." So I remember Kim, his girlfriend, and Sean, and Herb, my husband, and me, and Father Dale, we all went into his bedroom, and we prayed for him, for the headache to go away. And we also prayed that that line in the family, you know, would be broken. But that line of migraine headaches that went from my grandmother to my mother, skipped a generation of my brother and I, and now was attacking my son. And you know, nothing makes you angrier than when your kid is attacked in some way, health-wise or any other way. And anyway, we prayed and prayed that that line be broken. And I can tell you that the headache went away, that to this day, he's an attorney up in Manhattan now. He has never, praise the Lord, had a migraine headache. He don't have headaches at all. And I attribute it to the prayer that day. I attribute it to that praying that way, that that line, you know, migraine headaches that was present in our family line was broken. So, it really does happen. It really does work. I've seen people, like when we're looking at the whole past hurts thing, what comes to my mind is I was on prayer teams at our parish, which years back in the 70s was St. Thomas More, and I learned how to pray with people. And I remember this one woman, she had one miscarriage after another, and she and her husband really, really wanted to have a baby. And she came for prayer. And I remember thinking, there's something causing this, there's something hinging, there's a hinge, you know. And the reason I got the hinge from this is real, I thought this was really weird. I just got this image of an elbow. And I thought, what in the world, an elbow? What's that have to do with getting pregnant and having a baby? You know, and but then I realized that the elbow was a hinge and that something was hinging, something she wasn't dealing with was hinging on her having a successful pregnancy and delivery. And I talked to her about that, and she told me what it was. And we prayed for that. We prayed for that. And she came back 2 months later, and she was pregnant. And then 7 months after that, she had a beautiful baby girl. Because there was something blocking that, you know, something that had to do with those past hurts that was blocking her ability, you know, to conceive and have a baby. So there's wonderful things the Lord is doing today, you know, in our midst. And doing it through people like you and people like me. And that's why we're here today, to talk about it, to know it's happening, to know it is real, and to learn, you know, to learn how to do it. And we'll be doing all that because it isn't difficult, and all we need to do is just do what Jesus did, you know, to reach out to people, to reach out in love, to bring them faith and to bring them hope. And to bring them courage and to share our own stories. To share our own stories, because I know when I first started this journey, that meant a lot to me to, you know, to hear people just like me, other moms who had kids. And, you know, at that time I was teaching preschool, and just people that lived regular lives, you know, could do this and not only do it but experience it. So in closing, there's a summary here. And it's just some good thoughts here for you to take with you. Also, things that you've heard me say or things that you heard through the scriptures today, you know, talk about it amongst yourself, you know, when we have a break, and for those at your table. But part of the summary, the woman shows us how to approach Jesus with faith. She gives us an example of that. No matter how she felt, what she was going through, she did it. She pushed through. She expressed faith in his love, his power, his wisdom. And whether we approach him at the Eucharist, whether you come receiving prayer, or pray with someone, we do it with expectant faith. We expect that Jesus will be there, and Jesus will hear, and Jesus will respond. Remember with the Eucharist too, I remember when I was diagnosed with breast cancer back in the early 80s, I was waiting to find out everything. When I went to the Eucharist, I would ask Jesus to go to that area in my body, to go to that area in my breast and touch it and remove it, heal it, get rid of it, you know. And he did. Praise the Lord. So when you have a problem in your body, you know, you're going to communion, ask Jesus to go to that area within you. And where Jesus is, you know, sickness and disease doesn't come from Jesus. And so where he is, sickness and disease will not dwell and thrive and live. So ask him to do that. Ask him to do that. And he will do that. The woman became afraid, more in the summary, because she broke the law. She was concerned about making Jesus unclean. Isn't that interesting? That she was so convinced in what her community was telling her through their lack of knowledge, through the ignorance that they had regarding this disease, that she would thought if she touched Jesus, she might make him unclean. That's amazing, isn't it? But it also shows that at this time, you know, she was just learning. She was just stepping out. You know, of course, as she came to know Jesus, as he called her daughter, that all changed. And she, of course, knew that wouldn't be possible. So, also, there's the story about the leper in Mark 1, 40 to 45, that tells us that no one or nothing can make Jesus unclean. In the Old Testament, they stayed away from the leper. In the New Testament, grace draws near the leper and the unclean. He touches to make clean, and he touches to heal. Amen? Amen. So let's just close in prayer. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this word to us through the Gospel of Mark. We thank you for the example of the woman with the hemorrhage, for the many teachings that she brings to us through her experience, through what she suffered, and through how she was healed and made whole. We thank you for that, Jesus. We ask that you continue to speak to us through it. We ask that you build up our faith. We ask that you draw us, give us a hunger for your word, for we know that faith is increased by hearing and hearing of the word. We thank you, Jesus, that you want us to come to you, knowing that you love us, knowing that we are your sons and your daughters, and nothing can change that. Knowing that we can trust you, knowing that your touch is gentle, and knowing that you want us to tell you the whole truth. So we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you that you have placed our feet upon this journey of healing, not only for ourselves, but also give us a desire to learn how to bring healing prayer and to bring your healing touch and presence to others in our family, in our workplace, in our community, in our church. We thank you for that, Jesus, and we pray this as we do all things through Christ our Lord, and we all say amen and amen. Okay, we'll have a little break if you want to get yourself some coffee or some tea, and then come back to your table, and we'll have a little bit of time for the small groups, and then there'll be another teaching.